Washington interim supervisor as she walked through a shopping mall in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Check. Hello, hello. Hey, everybody. Check. Except that it wasn't racist. I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh.
I just don't like the way he talks about it.
So Rush is making the point. It's not a bad point, but it misses the point a little bit. He's making the point that you never see in the media. Duddle up. You never see in the media disaffected Democrats who are saying,
well, I'm not going to vote for Democrats because of the way that they talk. I just don't like it.
So here's the dilemma for a libertarian who claims to be neither Republican or Democrat or left or right. I totally see the right's point in that they're treated completely differently than the left is. You do not ever see anyone out there going, you know, I just don't like the way that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talks about the president, and I just think it's disgraceful. You don't see that. But Donald Trump does say some really fucked up shit. And that's what Rush will never say. Well, you know, I mean, but I guess I do understand how he's not appropriate to Donald Trump. But I'm just waiting for Harry. So we're trying something a little different. I had therapy at 5 on the other side of town in Carmel. And I live on the south side, and Carmel's on the north side. And lots of traffic usually, but I breezed here. And I didn't know if I'd make it on time. And so he said, why don't we just try Zoom? I'll stay here. You stay there. I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. So now, of course, 4 hours later, I'm sitting here with my cat in my hand, waiting on Harry, as usual. Probably making coffee and excuses and up to no good. So it's just you and me. We're waiting on Harry before we start this show. We're going to talk about a potpourri of things today. Probably, I'm sure it'll be quick. Four subjects. We're going to try and do four subjects in like an hour. Trying to not shorten the show up, but just try to be at an hour. And then, you know, when we go 90 minutes, then I'll feel accomplished. So let's see here. Big debates tonight. You know, more and more, I get the feeling that Donald Trump's going to win in a landslide. Let's see here. Looking at Reinhold. I love Reinhold, but he's got some Trump derangement syndrome going on in our chat room. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about being a libertarian is that you can be a complete leftist like Reinhold, or you can be a complete Trumpian person like Tad. Still be a libertarian, even if you don't necessarily get along. Where is Harry at? I'm bored. It's like the cardinal sin. Don't make me bored. I don't like to be bored. It's like if I'm out on a date and I would rather be at home talking to my friends and looking at memes, then this date is over and I'll never see you again. Like, be more interesting than my phone. That's really all it comes down to in a dating scenario. I need you to be more interesting than my phone. And that just seems so hard for people. Like, people don't read. They don't fill their mind with education. They're just boring. Like, at least describe a meme in an entertaining way. I'm also a little upset because I bought these new glasses in 2017, and they got the prescription wrong because I go to Dr. Tavel because I have no self-respect and I don't want to go to a real eye doctor. So they got the prescription wrong, and then these hurt my face real bad. So I stopped wearing them and went back to the older ones that I got in 2015. Well, those are a little bit gunky and just, you know, glasses after 5 years, it's time to change. But these look almost identical to them. There's Harry. And the center point on these glasses is all fucked up. And so my eyes hurt, my face hurts, and I'm crabby tonight, Harry. I'm rolling tape for the Patreon people. Just telling them about how crabby I am because of my glasses. Well, would you like to unmute yourself? I'll go ahead and make Harry a co-host.
All right, how do I sound?
There we go. Hey, you sound pretty good.
Just pretty good?
Yeah, very good, actually.
Am I too low?
You're too loud, actually.
Oh. This Scarlett is hard to configure because it's not like... Because it's good, the red Scarlett thing. It's beautiful, but it doesn't show me... Like, it's in the midway point, and it's like, whoa, is that loud? Is that...
Yeah, yeah. Just take it down about a quarter. I think you might be good.
Well, because like when I put it on playback, listen to my ears, like, oh, I sound perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, no, your mic sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you. The lightning I hear is too bad for it, though. I need like a diffuser.
Yeah.
I need to upgrade lighting now.
Somehow you look washed out.
Like, I can turn the lights on. Like, that's the thing is I only got like one other light in here, but it's not enough. So I'm just using the cans and it's like, well, crap, these cans are too bright.
Right.
And there's, yeah.
This is going to be on a Zoom. So the quality is going to look like shit anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, we seem to care less and less about video and like nobody. I mean, we get maybe 100 people that watch the videos, but you know, I'd love to do something with it someday, but it just, you know, 10,000 people listen on audio and 100 people listen on video. It's like, who cares? Like put less effort into the thing that nobody cares about, apparently.
Yeah.
So
also, and Zoom with 3 monitors is the worst because it'll like a pop up for that it install. And I was like, where the heck is this thing? And I'm like, three monitors.
You ready? We got
327 inch monitors like to the side.
I don't think we're going to have a very long show tonight. I mean, we got 3 topics, but it's like a breeze.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very loose and light tonight.
Is it because you just want to get to the debates?
I probably will not watch the debates, honestly. I forgot they were going on tonight until I was listening to Rush before I sat down, and he was... the Democrats have already lost the debates, according to Rush. He's very hopeful.
Oh, man, it's... I don't want to believe the 4D chess thing, but it's like, how could I make them talk about Baltimore and make them have to talk about it?
Yeah, like, did you see the video of the rat running through the Baltimore?
Oh my god,
Harry, it's the funniest shit ever. So this Fox local affiliate on Fox, not like Fox,
The local affiliate,
right? Yeah, so like the local Fox is different than the Fox News, right? So they're like doing it's the Fox affiliate in Baltimore, and they're doing a little piece on how great Baltimore is, and then they kind of go, and you know, it still has some problems, and they're like, look at this trash, and a rat, like the size of mittens, runs across the screen. It's so funny. So, are you ready?
Let's see. Phone or silencer off. Let me close the Facebook and the Twitters, so no one has sent me, like, and let me make sure Discord is on mute and Steam's off, because that's the new troll thing. Apparently, like,
turn your mic down a little more, please.
Is that going to be?
Yeah, you're like peaking, and I've got you down as low as I can put you.
Since you can't control it, then you're just gonna like,
bruh, shit in, shit out. I'm not a magician, okay? Okay, that's better.
It was the first sentence from Chick?
Shit in, shit out.
Yeah, is that his first sentence to you?
That's an old radio term where, listen, if your audio is garbage, there's nothing I can do to fix your audio.
Yeah, fix that in post.
Yeah, there's no fixing it.
Just fix that in post.
All right.
This is dumb.
Here we go.
This pop filter is dumb. Ow!
This meeting is being recorded.
Glad that happened after I hit myself.
What just happened?
I hit myself with the pop filter.
Okay, well, All of a sudden, your volume went up 8 million degrees.
I hit myself with the bump because I was like, oh, this is hitting me in the face. So, like, I was trying to use it to gauge I don't get too close.
Yeah, you're getting too close.
I try to adjust it so it wouldn't let me get closer when it gets so high. And then I hit myself and I kind of really ruined it. It was like, I'm going to do this a little adjustment to make it better.
You can honestly turn it down even more.
So I kind of really messed it up, huh?
Yeah.
This Scarlett's powerful. Like, I even got it down on my PC on, like, record, like the take volume.
Uh-huh.
54 on the PC side. I'm like, this is like 50% no gain. This Scarlett's badass.
It's a great product. That's why everybody uses it. It's really, really good. It's good if you're just kind of doing it like for what you're doing it. Like, if you're going to really build out a podcast network, what people do is they buy that Scarlett,
mm-hmm.
and then they buy an RE20. Or the mic that Joe Rogan has, the Shure SM7B, and you need so much gain for it and so much power, and the Scarlett can't push that much. For like the mic that you're using, what is it, an Audio Technica?
No, it's a GXL 2200.
Okay, so yeah, it's not like...
No, yeah, it's not a, you know, the bee's knees.
The recording has stopped.
Okay. Here we go.
XL 2200 from
this Canada. Meeting is being recorded.
The brand used by professionals. $150 camera, microphone.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
I understand the risk to our country.
Freedom brings people together.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey, welcome to We Are Libertarians. My name is Chris Spangle. It is so nice to be here with you. Going to talk about Hong Kong, Puerto Rico, Boris Johnson, lots of things happening overseas, and we may touch on the debates which are happening tonight, even though we're recording this on Tuesday, July 30th, but most of you will hear it on Wednesday or Thursday. But we won't go too in-depth on debates that aren't going to happen, but you'll know the result of by the time you hear this. So with me is Harry Price, as always, and we will be right back after this disclaimer.
Warning, this show is for adults, produced by semi-adults. So the language is sometimes strong and offensive.
I don't know what I said.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians, where our goal is to help you sound smarter while talking to your friends. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective while treating modern politics with all of the irreverence it deserves.
There has been lie after lie.
We toss out the screaming heads, put people before political parties, and give context to the news to make you think. Now, here's our host, a 15-year veteran of politics and media, Chris Spangle.
Hey, everybody, that's me. So nice to be here. It is... Let me just stop that right there. Let's just get on with the show. Well, I have to stop it because Harry, how are you?
I'm going good. Going good. In a remote location.
You are in a remote location. You have the text that I got from Harry was, I'm not coming to your effing cold house, you effing monster. I refuse until you turn it up above 68 degrees. And I said no. And so he threw a tantrum and stayed home. Is that true?
Yes, completely. 100% true. Even though it took me a while to get the basement over 68. But yeah.
All right. Well, you missed out because... one of our best listeners, one of our best friends, who is either still on or just back from an overseas trip, Jason Doolittle, sent you a lovely fleece blanket. And he says, tell Harry that I hope he stays warm in your apartment. And so you have dishonored Jason by not showing up tonight. And I think you owe him a public apology.
I think Chris owes me the public apology for keeping the studio too cold. It's sexist and racist to have the temperature that cold.
How is it racist?
Black people are tropical people. You know this.
Okay. Turn your mic up just a smidge, actually. So we've not done it this way where Harry's been in a remote location before. We wanted to give it a shot. I had an appointment on the north side, and I didn't know if I'd be back on time. And he threw out the brilliant idea of you gave me that mic. Let's Let's do it remotely and see how this goes. So we'll see how it goes. It's weird not having you here, but it's actually kind of nice because my apartment doesn't smell like coffee and I haven't heard you bitching for the last half hour.
I thought about just sending you like texts just so you get that feel still, you know, like that I'm there, that I'm always like there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I was like just complaining about other stuff, Wi-Fi speeds at my own house, but act like I'm there at yours. But it is nice, but it's also because Indianapolis has, I don't know who's doing the road construction planning, but they're drunk.
It's awful. Literally every single road in this state is under construction right now. And in the city, it's even worse. In the biggest city, 25% of the population of money in the state. And we have basically like a loop around it called 465. Mm-hmm. And it's they're just closing it down constantly. I mean, it's impossible to drive around the city right now.
Yes. And then we've got Gen Con. This is Gen Con week. And we've got 65,000 people coming in from the airport and just coming down to downtown Indianapolis. And I-70 from the airport into downtown is closed.
75,000 attendees to Gen Con and 25,000 sticks of deodorant.
Yeah. That's a gross high number for sticks of deodorant.
Yeah. If you've never smelled a Gen Con, it's brutal.
Yeah. It's that different type of nerd. The deodorant sticks are from the cosplayers, okay?
Right.
Not the gamers.
Yeah. It's the people who are comfortable playing 63 hours straight of a game and never showering. They really literally, I'm not kidding you. They put up signs at Gen Con. Don't they close it down at one point? Like, you can only play 12 straight hours and then they send you home, or
they air it out. They force you to go home, but they'll still play. They'll go outside of the halls and they'll play games in the hall. And that's not a diss. Like, I've been hardcore and flayed like that. I have taken breaks to go shower. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to just sit there and game. I've wanted to just sit there and keep gaming, but you know, stank is stank.
It is. It's board games too. It's like hardcore, like Settlers of Catan, but super elaborate
and cutthroat.
And yes, and it's just it's their lives, and they've got nothing going on, and no deodorant. It's brutal. I didn't care for it.
It is for the game. A lot of people expect Gen Con is like, well, this is like San Diego Comic Con. No, this is gaming. It's a bunch of nerds here, but this is for gaming nerds.
Well, now that we've lost half our audience, half our audience is sitting there going, excuse me, sir.
Politics and debate. But no, I want to get Gen Con is a great convention. Come to Gen Con. If you're into any type of board gaming, you like gaming, come. The video game section of Gen Con is growing. It's still small, but the Magic the Gathering is huge. All the trading card games are huge. To come just for a true dungeon event, and if you're a D&D gamer, if you've never done or heard a true dungeon, it is an amazing thing to be able to sit there and actually be in the dungeon to have that feel for. It's hard to get in, but it is a lot. It is a blast. Just coming in and playing games and characters. I was once in a 5-year LARP story that continued over 5 different Gen Con LARPs. The story is actually still going on, and actually found out a character I had in a LARP, got killed 2 stories ago. But I, but the SD is you just didn't show up, so we just wrote your character off. But if you come back in, we can.
Harry committed LARPing suicide. Is what. So live action role playing. Harry was playing. He's like, I can't take it anymore. I don't know if your mic or whatever has an automatic processing sort of thing, but you'll be talking and it'll be normal, and then it'll go like this. So I don't know if there's some sort of thing that you can turn off, but much appreciated if you can look into that. I actually went to the Great White Menace of the North for the very first time this past weekend, Harry. Mm. I do another podcast now. It's a comedy podcast called The Pat Down with comedian Miss Pat, who is one of the funniest humans on earth. You will soon hear her name. One of the best books I've ever read is Rabbit, her autobiography. And Dion Curry is also a co-host. And the three of us went up to the Just for Laughs Festival, which is the biggest, at least in North America, maybe in the world, the biggest comedy festival. And it's super prestigious in the comedy community. I was not aware of what a big deal it was until I was on the plane heading to it. And several friends were like, do you even understand where you're going? I'm like, no, I have no frame of reference, you know? And I didn't get it till the ride home when the kid was like, I was in the airport and this kid's like, my dream is to perform at the Just for Laughs Festival. So you never, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, I guess. You really need context in life to appreciate where you're at. But I had a great time. I really enjoyed, we did a live podcast and Howie Mandel was our first guest and he was hilarious. Really go check out the Pat Down if you're not listening to it. Please support me. If you like this show, if you like me, if you hate me, I don't blame you. Then you don't have to listen to that podcast, but you'll probably like Miss Pat a lot better than me.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to know how Howie Mandel and Miss Pat got along. This sounds awesome.
So, Howie was in an elevator and Miss Pat just started, Howie, I got my nipple shot off and I shot my ex-husband in the back of the head and I got 4 crack babies and this is my daughter. She's gay and this is her husband, Mike. And he came to the taping and we talked to him and he was super nice. He came up on the show and what we didn't know, or at least I didn't know, he owns the festival. And so he was there having a great time and hopefully we'll get to go back and like do it on a bigger, like even a bigger scope. So it was really cool. It was really like, I don't know. It's really weird to just be on a stage doing a podcast with Howie Mandel. Like you look over and there's Howie. I'm used to looking over and there's Reinhold.
Yeah. Wow, you were just kind of sitting on the stage, just like, is this where I am? Huh? No, this timeline's not so bad.
Yeah. So turn your mic up a little bit, please.
I must have whatever setting I hit must have took it down.
It would stop the issue, but yeah. This whole Pat Down thing has been kind of surreal because Miss Pat is a major comedian with a lot of heat right now. And she's like best friends with Joe Rogan. And so she went and did his podcast and then flew me out with her to see. So I got to sit in the green room while she did the Rogan show and like met him, shook his hand, took a picture. Super nice of her to take me. I did a bonus episode where you and I talked about my Rogan experience. So join the Patreon if you want to hear that. And that was surreal. And then to like be doing a podcast at JFL with Howie Mandel, it's like, and then you look on the podcast charts and we're number 25 in comedy and it was like number 4 at one point. We were in the top 10 of all podcasts and to like see my name in the description of like a top 10 podcast is just very, I don't know. Part of it is really cool because, I feel very odd, Harry, talking about this because I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. Because trust me, in my head, good things are not supposed to happen to me. But there is a little bit of weird, like it's nice to have worked for 10 years on podcasting and to get this kind, like obviously people are going, they're booking Miss Pat. They're listening for Miss Pat. She's the special ingredient, but my expertise has kind of helped the show along obviously and producing it, editing it, you know, all that jazz, you know? So my experience has really kind of helped us get to where we are. And I do have fun doing the show. So it is a little weird to kind of get like to see your name at that, like, cause that's not supposed to happen to you. Like other people's names are supposed to be in that like top 25, top 10 podcast area and doing these cool things. So I am like personally struggling with it a little bit because it's just not, I don't know, like the image in my head of where my career is and is supposed to be is different than kind of where she's taking me. So, which I'm greatly appreciative of and I'm having a blast doing it, but yeah, it's odd.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're putting in the work, that you same amount of work that you really do for Wall that you do for her.
Yeah.
It's a great ride that you're on. I'm happy for you because like I said, you put in your work, you know, podcasting inside and out. A lot of people just stumble into it and they just kind of get, you know, like lucky with equipment set up and stuff like that. But you actually know what you're doing when it comes to this stuff. And that's why I always find it's weird for me to talk technology with you, especially with podcasting, because this is your area of expertise. So when I'm like, what are you talking? Okay, I'll listen to you.
Yeah, like what? Like I'm not going to tell you about networking equipment. Boost your mic a little more. We'll get these settings right, I promise you.
Teaching hospice.
A little more. Yep. Keep going. Harry, keep going.
Testing. 1, 2. Chicken little.
All right. That we'll just deal with that. That's good.
Jiggle to the left.
Perfect. Keep it there. Don't touch it. Don't move.
Is that what's just going to happen? You're just going to stop over, like, turn my equipment on and go, like, just unplug it, like, this is the settings.
Here are the settings. It's me. I'm talking now.
takes the knobs.
It takes the knobs or else it gets the hose again.
I think maybe that piece of equipment to make is a, for podcasters, is a board or something to send to people that's just, it does all the processing there, but you can digitally, like, control it, like, virtually.
That's got to be coming, because I'll tell you what, like, having, I would love to do interviews, and I'm very jealous of, like, when I see Mark Claire at the National Libertarian Convention and he knows everybody, and it's because Mark and Johnny, like, interview everybody and talk to them, and, like, they're friendly with them, you know, and I don't know them because my world is, like, you and our co-hosts, and it's not talking to people that work for Liberty Fund or Cato or Mises or whatever. And I do think that there are some really interesting conversations to be had in some of those one-on-one conversations. But the nightmare of doing an interview show is nothing I ever want to do. And you've seen it when we've had, like, guest hosts on where, you know, it's like, I love Rob Cortell, but, like, it's when he and I, like, I've sent him mics and headphones and all that. And, like, it's just hard for, it's hard to get that set up right every time when you're doing it every 6 weeks. And so it'd be great to have that. Like, if you could have that where you just plug this in and I can remote into this box, I would ship that to every person that's doing an interview and then have them, you know, send a return label on it. I mean, it just, that's got to be the next frontier of podcasting. It really has to be, because it's.
Yeah. And we just, yeah. And yeah. And if you've got the expertise to build this thing, build it.
Yeah, we'll test it out.
Yeah, send us the prototype. Just build it.
See, now you're all wild. This is not going to work. Drive down here right now. let's get on with the big show. Let's start talking about some subjects. We're not going to go terribly in depth. I just wanted to. I do want to say, Montreal is one of the worst places I've ever been in my life. I and it's not Montreal. It's me. I don't know French, and everything's in French, and all the food was weird, and it did, and it looked like America, but not. And I was frightened because it was different than what I'm used to. And so I hated Montreal so much that I was glad to land in Philly. And when you're glad to be in Philly, then you know you've just come from a strange place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for contributing, Harry. That's
it's Canada. Well, I think it's funny because, like, I'm Canada. Enough. Everyone's got this, like, what they think Canada is, but no.
Yeah.
Canada sucks.
Canada is America's hat, and that's it.
Attic.
Yes, America's attic, where we keep the creepy French. All right, so we want to talk about Hong Kong, and we want to talk about Puerto Rico, and maybe a little Boris and debates if we got time. But Harry, there are major protests going on. Now, listen, I have long said I hate protests. I hate any American movement of protests or marches or sit-ins or rallies or any of that. It doesn't matter for what group or what cause. In America, they're ineffective, and they're just a total, like, it's just a way for groups that are attached to those identity politics to capture your information. They do nothing in the American body politic. And everybody, whenever I say that, everybody's like, oh, did you look at the 60s? I'm like, yeah, and all of those people are almost dead. That was 60, 70 years ago. Grow up. It's a different era now, boomer. And for whatever reason, protests just don't work like they do in other areas of the world. Now, I think as we become more unstable, go watch episode 9 of Ken Burns' Vietnam, and you'll see protests worked back then. But then, the soldiers throwing their medals onto the Capitol that they had won in Vietnam, the vets against Vietnam, like, that was hugely powerful. And then in come the Antifa nonsense crazies who come in and 2 days later just completely shut the city down and ruin that moment. Every movement's just full of lunatics. Right. But there are some major protests. The biggest protest in the country is in Puerto Rico right now. So let's start with Puerto Rico, because we're talking about American protest movements. But, you know, there are, I'm trying to get to the page.
Oh, yeah. All the protests about the, basically the goings on of one, the relief efforts in Puerto Rico and what was said on a social media site.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I wanted to talk about these with these great notes put together by Sam Schultz, effectively our head researcher now and just does an amazing job for us. I wanted to talk about them because I think we're about to, as I was on the plane watching that episode 9 of Vietnam by Ken Burns, and you see like the social decay happening in American society in the late 60s, early 70s, I think that's where we're headed. I think we're headed to a time when there's going to be unrest and upset, and it'll look a lot like the late 60s. I think we're kind of like 1964 right now. And I think this is a bit of a preview of where we're headed here in America. And obviously Puerto Rico is America or part of it, and so we should pay attention to what's happening there, and then as well as Hong Kong. So yeah, the governor of Puerto Rico, Ricardo Rosello, he is actually the son of a former, he grew up in the mansion where the governor of Puerto Rico stays. And so he's a second generation politician and very good looking guy, very educated. I think he went to MIT. He's like a math whiz, engineer whiz. He went to Michigan, the University of Michigan, and just a really, really intelligent guy. Rosello like became wealthy independently because of that work, I think. And he has sort of a mixed background. His business efforts have kind of fallen through and fallen flat. Now, Harry, with you being out of the studio, I can't look at you and see when you want to talk. So you're just going to have to like speak up, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
So that's fair. While I give the facts, if you want to give some analysis, then just pop your head up, okay? So over the last month, the last couple weeks specifically, the last 20 days, hundreds of thousands of people have been in Puerto Rico trying to take down Governor Rosello, Ricardo Rosello. So long story short, there was a texting scandal on Telegram where he and his boys, and Harry, how long have we said, God forbid the wall chat ever gets made public?
Oh, yeah, constantly. Yeah, that chat is, yeah, it's...
It's not what it used to be. That's for sure.
What it used to be. And I always get worried when people invite new people and we didn't vote them in.
Yeah, I know. Like Paul, I know. I agree. He should be kicked out.
I like these new people, but we should really vote.
I know.
We should let in.
But everybody has that group chat amongst their friends where you're like, man, correct. I hope nobody ever sees this shit.
Correct. Correct. It's the one thing like at work, I try to warn people like, listen, you guys all know that these work chats are, you know, I see them all. What do you mean? They're private. No.
And you use the N-word too much.
Yeah.
If you're on somebody else's network, they can look at you, right?
Well, correct. Yeah. If you're using someone else's stuff, yeah, they can see that. Just it's funny because how people will type stuff into Slack and they think like, well, it's just Slack. It's private. I'm like, yeah, until you want to see it.
Right. Right.
And then like the person who owns the Slack channel, they just need to get permission from Slack to see it. That's it. And you can see everything and you will find out that Slack keeps everything.
So Governor Rosello and his boys were in a group chat, and these boys are kind of... So basically, he came in, a younger generation, I think he's a millennial, and he brought in a bunch of new blood, a lot of business guys, a lot of people that he knew from the States, a lot of people that were very friendly to him. And mm-hmm. So what happens when you come into an island, basically, and I learned this lesson here in a small town in southern Indiana. I won't say the name of the town, Seymour, Indiana. And I went and I met with the Libertarian Party there, and we started talking a lot about the politics there. And because this small town was 40 minutes from any major road or interstate or anything, they were fairly secluded, but it was still a fairly decent-sized town. But it was just totally insular. And I don't think it was Seymour. I think it was some other town I'm thinking of. But it was down around that area. And this town just had some of the craziest problems I'd ever heard as executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. And the reason was that there wasn't a lot of movement. It was just the same people kind of have grown up to manage the town, and it was the first experience that I really had in Indiana with the old good old boy network that existed in Indiana before, you know, the 1980s, 90s kind of cleared out and new leadership came in across the state. And that's kind of what Puerto Rico and some of these islands, you have an old guard. This is the way we do things. We're not going to be corrupted by America and how they do things, and very resistant to change. And so when Rosello came into Puerto Rico with his boys, as mm-hmm. I'll call them, and started to do things a different way, they weren't receptive to listening to that old guard. Now, I've made this point about the Libertarian Party nationally. There are a lot of people like the Mises Caucus and, you know, a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, where I would say to Michael Heiss and the Mises Caucus, which was an upstart caucus, we're going to take over the party, we're going to reform it, and we're going to recruit people to go, and we're going to change it, and blah, 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 blah. I said, Michael, you don't understand that the people that make up the 1,000 voting delegates of the Libertarian Party, those people have been in the party 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Some of those people founded the party. And they're a tight network of people, and they're just not going to hand over the reins to you if they don't feel that you're going to be responsible with what they have put in terms of time, treasure. Like somebody like Joe Hauptmann, who has worked for the Libertarian Party cause for 45 years, is not just going to hand over the reins to some kid just because he says, I'm new, I'm fresh, I've got bold ideas. That's not how power works. People don't give up power freely until they really, like, it takes a lot. It takes a massive outer pressure of new influx, or it takes people working within the system and making that old power comfortable with the new power. And the problem with Rosella and his boys is that they didn't sit down with those guys. And when they did, they didn't listen. They didn't ask for advice. They didn't listen to advice. They just said, well, I'm president now. We're in charge of all these cabinet posts. And so this happens all the time in politics. It's happening to the Indiana Attorney General. He was just sort of brash and didn't mm-hmm. really want to like talk to the legislature and didn't think that he needed precinct committeemen and county chairmen. And he was the attorney general now, and there's nothing that any of them could do about it. And the second he got into trouble, they didn't help out. And that's what happened to Rosello. Rosello got too enamored with his own ability to be a charismatic new leader, to be the Kennedy of Puerto Rico, that he forgot to tend the garden of the old guard. And so when trouble came about, as it always does for a new and experienced politician, they weren't with him. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. why Donald Trump can do whatever he wants. There's an established power base within the Republican Party that will just support a Republican president because of their own self-interest, no matter what the president does or says. If it mm-hmm. isn't clear to you that the party will do anything to protect itself, including supporting Donald Trump, it should be clear to you. And so that's kind of what happened. So this texting scandal where their group chat gets leaked mm-hmm. ends up completely hanging them. And so that's kind of the overview of what happened, Harry.
Yeah. And Trump does, like, if you watch, like, Trump does go after the, like, does help out the old guard. It's like he gives them their, you know, the judges that they want. They give, right. Trump goes after, make sure the old guard of the Republican Party is happy. He also, the good old boy network here in Indiana, period, it's still around. You know, the FBI has cleared out a lot of it, especially in Muncie.
Right.
They're constantly, and they're still starting. But yeah, it's one of those good old boy networks that, you know, they control a lot of different things. And but the thing is, they've controlled so much that if you don't use them, there's not much left else. And I think that's a lot of the corruption thing he had is like with cut off from that network, he was forced to go through, find other means and other vendors. And that's also how he, you know, inexperienced just kind of like, stubbed his toe, tripped, you know, made a trip.
Yeah, and he fell and tripped in the middle of a corruption scandal and in the middle of the fallout of Maria, which is still, I mean, obviously Maria was super devastating to Puerto Rico and remains so.
Yes.
And so on July 10th, two former Puerto Rican officials, the island's education secretary, Julia Keller, and the head of the Health Insurance Administration, Angela Avila Marrero, were arrested on corruption charges. They were accused of directing millions of dollars in government contracts to politically connected contractors. Now, the next day, on July 11th, after the arrest, the governor returned home from a previously scheduled family vacation outside the U.S. territory, and a few messages from a private Telegram chat with his inner circle were leaked. He apologized for referring to a former New York official with an expletive in those messages. Now, once we're done with kind of the timeline, we'll give you what some of the messages said. Now, on July 13th, the Puerto Rican Center for Investigative Journalism published 900 pages of private messages. Now, imagine if there were 900 pages of your group chat. How devastating could you pick? You could pick that apart and make somebody look any way. That's happened to us, actually. That happened to me. A former Wall co-host had screenshotted a bunch of group chats and then went into our group and tried to make me and several other people look really bad. And fortunately, everybody's like, what's wrong with you? So the exchanges from the messaging app Telegram ridiculed numerous politicians, journalists, and celebrities. They were sent from December 18 to January 19. So they were chit-chatting a lot in a month span. Now, two cabinet members who are part of the chat, Puerto Rico's former chief fiscal officer, Sobrina Vega, and Secretary of State Luis Rivera Marin resigned. Now, I have a lot of trouble pronouncing names, especially of a foreign nature, so I greatly apologize. And
Puerto Rico isn't foreign.
And so when I got to Montreal, there was this girl there, and she's like, I was like, so what's your name? And she's like, Noir. I was like, Noir? Noir. I said, Noir? Noir. I said, Nora? I go, listen, honey, my mouth don't make those noises. another girl named Camille. Camille. I was like, you're Camille to me now. July 14th, the protests begin to grow outside Rosello's his residence, and they call for his resignation. Now, on the 16th, he announced that he would not step down. I will continue my work and my responsibility to the people of Puerto Rico. Now, the 17th, the Justice Department of Puerto Rico issues summonses for everyone involved in the private group chat. The 19th, the president of Puerto Rico's House of Representatives, Carlos Mencia, created a special committee to advise him on whether the governor committed impeachable offenses. So they appointed Robert Mulero. That's a joke. Rosello announced he will not run for re-election in 2020 and resigned from his role as president of the new Progressive Party. So he resigned on July 21st, days less than a week after the initial leak. Hundreds of thousands of people shut down a major highway in San Juan and launched an island-wide strike demanding Rosello's resignation. So he didn't resign from president of the country, just the president of the party, and said he wouldn't run for re-election. And that wasn't enough. And so the 23rd, his chief of staff resigned. And finally, on the 24th, Rosello announced he would resign effective August 2nd. Now, on July 28th, this is being recorded July 30th. Puerto Rico's Secretary of Justice, Wanda Vasquez Garced, said on Twitter she does not want to be the Puerto Rico's next governor. According to Puerto Rico's order of succession, the Secretary of State should be next in line after the governor. However, the man holding that position, Marin, resigned on July 13th. As a result, Vasquez was next in line. So we now have a crisis of who will lead in Puerto Rico. So that is kind of where we're at in terms of the timeline. So what was in the messages? Now we'll put in the show notes. You can look at all 889 pages in our show notes if you'd like, but we'll just give you the highlights. In the protests began after 11 men and Rosello were in a group chat and that was leaked. They were often seen as offensive, insensitive, as well as showing a cozy relationship between Rosello and his former staff members who now represent special interests. The Washington Post said, all men, they make misogynistic jokes, makes fun of gay, It's basically saying all men, they made misogynistic jokes, made fun of gay people, insulted journalists, joked about shooting San Juan's female mayor, made light of Hurricane Maria victims, and joked about the weight of a citizen whom the governor had posed in a photo. From a New York Times piece, quote, what they found was shocking. Members of Mr. Rosello's inner circle boasted about unleashing trolls against their critics on social media. They exchanged one meme after another mimicking President Trump, colossally divisive figure in Puerto Rico. The governor mocked a poverty-stricken woman who had torn down a photograph of him in a government office after being denied food stamps. There were texts about using the government's advertising budget to assert control over newspapers. Quote, there's no other way to describe it. It was an atomic bomb, said Benjamin Torres Gote, a prominent Puerto Rican journalist, wrote in El Nuevo Dia. For the first time, he says, the country could see the ruling class without their masks on. Some of the subjects of the messages included former New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Vivitero. The initial leaked messages in Rosello first apologized for and saw him refer as her, she... as a whore. Now, the governor wrote that he was upset that Mark Vivitero had criticized Tom Perez, chair of the DNC, for backing statehood of Puerto Rico. Rosello wrote, our people should come out and defend Tom and beat up that whore. Offer no further analysis there. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulin Cruz, in the chat, the chief fiscal officer, Christian Sobriano Vega, wrote, I am salivating to shoot her. And the president of Puerto Rico responded, you'd be doing me a grand favor. He also wrote that she must be, quote, off her meds by deciding to run against him. Puerto Rican singer Ricky Martin took a hit. Vega wrote, nothing says patriarchal oppression like Ricky Martin. Ricky Martin is such a male chauvinist that he fucks men because women don't measure up. Pure patriarchy.
I mean, oh no.
Right. You're supposed to be offended, Harry. I know that's a funny joke, but you're not allowed to laugh at that. That's horrible.
That was horrible.
And that's the thing about this is like we're reading you some of the excerpts, so you don't have the context of the conversation and what goes into a conversation or now, obviously, none of this is good. but we'll give you some analysis here in just a moment. So short of a pathologist at a government forensic agency took a hit. Vega, the former chief, this guy must be the lens of the chat. He's the Tad Western of the group. He's really going after people. He's the instigator.
Putting it out there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just like, shocked that we never brought up Indiana singers in the chat room, you know?
Yeah. Or Adam Driver from Indiana or Gary Native, the Jackson Five. Vega, the former chief financial officer in one chat, was asked about the budget for the forensic pathologist. He responded with a joke about the growing pile of dead bodies at the morgue after Maria. Quote, now that we are on the subject, don't we have some cadavers to feed on our crows? He wrote in an apparent reference to government critics. Is there more behind the anger and protest? According to the New York Times piece, quote, the protests are much more about than just the unseemly chat messages. They amount to a rejection of decades of mismanagement by leaders who always seemed to benefit while ordinary Puerto Ricans suffered. Grievances have been building up over 12 years of economic recession, a debt crisis that has prompted layoffs and cutbacks in public services, and the botched response to Hurricane Maria. Now, the chat messages and the arrest of last week of six people with ties to the Rosello government were the last straw for many Puerto Ricans who said they could no longer tolerate mocking, profanity, corruption, real or perceived, by leaders who were supposed to be fighting on their behalf in Washington and San Juan. So protesters want to get rid of both Rosello and the unelected oversight board created by Congress to manage the finances of the island's government, which owes far more than it can pay to its creditors. Protesters have been chanting, Ricky renuncia y aliviate a la junta, which translates to Ricky resign and take the board with you. In many ways, the events that lead to the turnover of the Puerto Rican government began in June. Raul Maldonado Gautier, the secretary of the treasury and the former chief of staff to the governor, told a radio interview that there was an institutional mafia operating a profit-making business in his department. He said that some of them had threatened him and tried to extort him. Gautier was fired, and Eric Roland, Governor Rosello's deputy chief of staff, told reporters, "We cannot allow people in the government who are not loyal to the governor or the central administration." That's rough. Mr. Maldonado's son took to Facebook to denounce Governor Rosello as corrupt. In short order, the police showed up at his house, purportedly to investigate whether he had proper permits for a cache of firearms he owns. And his lawyer declared that a political war was underway. So it's very clear that this guy needs to go. He's clearly a dangerous person with no good intentions and has absolutely nothing but disgust and distaste for the people that he governs. And you just can't have somebody like that with the – I mean, you can't really have anybody with the levers of power, but you definitely don't want that guy to have it.
Correct. And Puerto Rico needs, you know, help, especially after Maria. That's why the federal government suspended the Jones Act so things could get there quickly, quicker and faster and cheaper. But even when they got there, they realized, you know, everything else it's not being managed properly. Close to $1 billion has been sent down to Puerto Rico. And right. It's still the same way that, you know, New Orleans looked, you know, but most of the people stayed on this island instead of leaving like New Orleans, like most people did when Katrina hit New Orleans.
Yeah.
But New Orleans didn't even get close to the amount of money Puerto Rico got.
No. Katrina's really a terrible tragedy, to be honest. I mean, it's
correct.
If you're younger and you've never looked into Katrina, you should.
Yeah. It's devastated the town. It's still really not back to its former glory before Katrina.
There's just not a lot of analysis here. Like, there's no defending that. I mean, listen, I guess if you look at it in terms of there isn't anything that people say. Like, you could take any chats that any of us are in or anybody that's listening in, and everybody tries to outdo each other with jokes in a poor manner. But I can't imagine being a government official in the middle of Maria and making fun of like dead Puerto Ricans as they're laying there. Like, there just doesn't, to me, like, I get that their privacy was invaded and they were saying something different in private, but that's sort of the point. Like, I just don't see anything here worth defending. Like, this guy had to go. He's lost the consent of the governed, and it's their right to overturn it. I mean, it's
right.
It's grotesque what they were saying, and there's just nothing. The argument that, well, this was said in private, and they probably don't believe that. They were probably kidding. It's like, when somebody's in charge of the force of government, can you really take that chance? Like, you really want to take your chance? Like, this guy clearly, when somebody says something mean about him on Facebook, investigates his enemies. So he's correct. Clearly a dangerous individual.
Correct. You don't want him to get more reign of power to do something else or find something else that he does. Like, let's say that he just decided to start sending the IRS or create a Puerto Rican IRS to send it people to arrest them. But yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Hong Kong. So that's like your Mickey Mouse corruption stuff. That's all bad stuff, right? Now let's talk about authoritarianism. The reason I wanted to really kind of look at Hong Kong is Hong Kong, I mean, I was in 97, they were a British port, essentially. And then in 1997, they were returned to China under a policy known as One Country, Two Systems, which promised autonomy, a high degree of autonomy from the communist China mainland and Hong Kong. Now, even as a young freshman or sophomore in high school, I knew that was never going to work, and it was only a matter of time. So I've always kind of kept my eye on Hong Kong to see how would the authoritarian government of China begin to deal with a place that had a very high economic degree of freedom. And the reason there are protests happening in Hong Kong is that they're not dealing with it very well, Harry.
Correct. Now, for the longest time, like, Hong Kong was like a model that the Chinese Communist Party used to basically dig itself out of the hole it was in.
Right.
Because, you know, they had tons of farms like that. And then Mao did what Mao did. It would put them into massive famine. They didn't have any farm, no food, nothing.
Right.
Shut them off. And now, you know, barely, even when we got close to the 80s and the 90s, they were just barely digging themselves out of that hole.
So there's a series of demonstrations. Yeah, because they try to maintain their freedom, which is very difficult to maintain your freedom, especially against China or Americans. There's an anti-extradition bill. There's an extradition bill going through Hong Kong, which is kind of the tinder, the match that lit this tinder, I guess, is the way to say it. Now, under one country, two systems, Hong Kong has continued to thrive under free markets, independent courts, freewheeling press, open internet, and other features that distinguish it from mainland China. Now, the autonomy guaranteed to Hong Kong under a mini constitution known as the Basic Law, which expires in 2047. Now, recently, however, China's ruling Communist Party under Xi Jinping, who has effectively become a dictator of the country, like Vladimir Putin, has been trying to lessen Hong Kong's autonomy. Now, the Basic Law guarantees that the Chinese authorities cannot stifle dissent in Hong Kong with an iron fist, as they do across the mainland and in the autonomous regions of Tibet and Xinjiang. Now, this has forced the Chinese government to chip away at the independence of Hong Kong's institutions by other means. For example, this extradition bill. Independence is under threat in the eyes of many of Hong Kongers. Ben Bland, a Hong Kong expert at the Lowy Institute in Australia, said, quote, "In recent years, the Hong Kong government has disqualified elective lawmakers, banned activists from running for office, prohibited a political party, jailed pro-democracy leaders, expelled a senior foreign journalist, and looked the other way when Beijing kidnapped its adversaries in Hong Kong." So, what is the extradition bill? Now, I want to go to our let me go here first. Let me kind of give you more details, and then I'll give you a little analysis. The bill would allow Hong Kong to detain and transfer people in wanted countries and territories with which it has no formal extradition agreements, including Taiwan and the Chinese mainland. Now, you may remember Edward Snowden immediately flew to Hong Kong when he leaked things, and that's where he was stuck for a period of time before he got to Moscow. Carrie Lam, the Hong Kong's chief executive, which is kind of the head of the government there, championed the bill in February in response to pleas from the parents of a young woman who was allegedly murdered by her boyfriend while the pair visited Taiwan. The boyfriend is in Hong Kong, which does not have an extradition agreement with Taiwan. So they have taken a sad story, a sob story, twisted it to mean whatever they'd like it to mean, so that the regular Hong Kong people will just go, you know, but it is for the children, and so maybe we ought to have this extradition bill so these poor grieving parents can see justice for their daughter. And people go, I have an emotional connection to these crying parents. I better just give up my freedom. And people usually do. Now, critics contend that the law would allow virtually anyone in the city to be picked up and detained in mainland China, a country in which judges must follow the orders of the Communist Party. So in China, the Communist Party rules everything. Many believe that if the bill is passed, mainland Chinese officials would use it to demand the extradition for trial on the mainland, not just criminal, but also political activists. The extradition plan applies to 37 crimes, excluding political ones. However, critics fear that the legislation would essentially legalize the sort of abductions to the mainland that have taken place in Hong Kong in recent years. It would also open a can of worms that could eventually lead to more crimes being included. Under the law, the chief executive would need to approve an extradition request before the warrant is issued. A Hong Kong court would also be empowered to check that there is a basic case. So the Hong Kong government is here to protect your rights, Harry. And you'll see this as we continue on with this discussion. It's not that, Hong Kong's government doesn't want to be the bad guys. They're here to protect the rights of Hong Kong people, right? I mean, what's the nature of government? The nature of government, Harry, is to protect your natural rights, is it not?
Correct. Protect, steal.
Right.
Protect, and investigate and, you know, be judges of fairness.
Yes. Now,
they will investigate themselves.
Right. They're above board. They just want to protect you.
Yeah.
They don't want to, but they're going to make sure that if you have an extradition request, don't worry. The government will make sure that the Chinese are not overreaching. Pro-Beijing lawmakers hold 43 of the 70 seats in the Hong Kong legislature, all but ensuring the bill will pass if came to a vote. So, and it also basically makes a subordinate status to the mainland, Hong Kong's basically need to be at the teat, means that local leaders are not going to reject an extradition request from the mainland superiors. Business executives who fear they might someday be extradited themselves to uncertain fates in China's opaque judicial system have been major critics to the bill. Now, in announcing the suspension of the bill on June 16th, Carrie Lam emphasizing that it was not being withdrawn outright as protesters are demanding. So she said, we're just going to suspend it. But she didn't withdraw it, which means it's officially dead. On July 9th, she said the bill is dead, but still refused to officially withdraw it. Lam said, I have almost immediately put a stop to the amendment exercise, but there are still lingering doubts about the government's sincerity or worries about the government will restart the process in the Legislative Council. So I reiterate here, there is no such plan. The bill is dead. Now, here's what I would say about this. This sounds a lot like the American founding. And shortly after John Adams successfully acquitted the Boston, the soldiers in the Boston Massacre, a court of New England men in the middle of the Boston Massacre fever acquitted the soldiers that killed Bostonians. And then shortly after that, King George said, no, any soldier needs to be tried in England because they need a fair trial. And eventually all trials they were threatening to hold in England, and it wasn't fair because you weren't going to get a fair shake in England. You were going to get whatever the state wanted to give you.
Right.
And that's what's happening here. And I will also say that so I watched a documentary on Auschwitz. Now I know Godwin's law and all that, but this is the example that most people are familiar with. They're most familiar with Nazis. Auschwitz was not an internment camp for Jews. Auschwitz began as a political prison for Poles and Germans that they wanted to get out of Germany and political dissidents, especially Polish dissidents. And so the majority of the people that were held at Auschwitz initially were political dissidents. And that is where a tyrannical government always starts. They always start with the people who are the dissidents. They always start to eat away at the people who can... The way that they rot out the inside of government is they remove the people who are criticizing the government. And so
pointing fingers,
right,
who get the people riled up to get them out of their houses, away from their, you know, their things, and try to, you know, make some noise.
In a communistic society, in an authoritarian dictatorship like Xi Jinping's China, Hong Kong is an existential threat to him because the people that he keeps under his thumb can look at the free markets of Hong Kong and go, I don't have that freedom, why not? And so he must get rid of the freedom of Hong Kong. And what better way to begin rotting their freedom than to begin rotting the freedom the way that King George tried with the Americans and the way that it always is tried with all authoritarian governments? Export and get rid of all political dissidents. Why do you think Germany in World War I... Germany basically, so they went, I think it was to Switzerland. That's where Vladimir Lenin was being isolated to. He had been shipped out of the country by the Russians, by the Russian heir, Tsar Nicholas. And the Germans went and got him and sent him on a train and put him on a guarded train through Germany so he couldn't escape the train and corrupt and pollute their society. He was basically a toxin that the Germans put into Russia so that Russia would eventually leave the war. He was exiled. And so this is what they always try to do. They always try to exile and execute anyone who is a dissident. And that's what they're going to do in Hong Kong. And so the protests there are massive because they understand the existential threat that this extradition bill is. They don't fall for the BS of the parents crying. They understand that this is the beginning of the end of our freedom if we don't fight now, Harry.
Right. And that's why I would like
the parallels to the American Revolution, because these are just like them. These people have, you know, they have the ability to own not land, because not much land in Hong Kong, I think it's really expensive, but own stuff. They have stuff. Their family owns stuff. It's not just you can't just get rich in Hong Kong just because you're just politically connected.
Right.
You know, you can work hard and then you can also leave and easily go places and have people come visit you. You can't do that in most of mainland China. You just don't even have the resources for that. And when you watch these protests and you watch how they don't back down and they watch their people who are supposed to represent them, they just kind of just like, you know, not ignore them, but just show them like they show that they won't be ignored.
Their leaders are on the side of Beijing. There's no doubt about it. They are losing quickly. The chaos is about to descend on Hong Kong because the people there recognize their freedom is being taken away and the scoundrels that are in charge of the Hong Kong government are responsible.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird to watch it because it is like one is the complete ignoring out of most of the media. They're not even talking about it. When you go to most things, it's not even on anyone's radar. A lot of the protests were happening, especially ones where the police put up signs that said, "Hey, back down. We'll have to open fire, you know, get right." And they did it. The police did just back down. Like, no, we're just going to let them in.
Yeah. Well, Carrie Lam is basically saying to China, no, we got it. You don't need to send in Chinese troops. But the Chinese army has bases in Hong Kong, and Beijing keeps threatening to release the People's Army into the streets of Hong Kong if they can't get it under control. And the leaders in Hong Kong know exactly how that's going to look. And so they're desperately trying to avoid that. So a little bit about the protest. They first happened on March 31st with an attendance of 12,000 pro-democracy protesters. Police peak the figure at 5,200. The movement gained stronger momentum after a second demonstration on April 28th with an estimator. The police estimated 22,000 people. Organizers claimed 130,000. Protest was held on June 9th, and it was attended by 240,000 people, according to the police, or 1 million, according to the organizers. Now, on June 12th, protests outside the government headquarters escalated to violent clashes with police. 22 were injured. Multiple rounds of tear gas and rubber bullets were fired at protesters from police and riot gear. Pablo Wong, a freelance journalist based in Hong Kong, was at the protest for over 9 hours. He told USA Today the perseverance of the mostly youthful crowd, who he said were protesting, was unprecedented in Hong Kong, and 81 people were injured in the violence. Now, why did the protest continue? Because Lam suspended it, but did not officially withdraw the bill. Lawmakers could still bring it back and act upon it before the end of the year, something protesters fear will happen. Quote, "She is trying to delay and hope the Hong Kong people forget," said one protester. As protests have continued, opponents of the bill have had their concerns grow. Many argue the police have been overly violent in their response, and other claims the death of a protester has not been properly addressed by the government. On July 21st, protests broke out, the seventh in a series of demonstrations that have taken place there every weekend since early June, to make citizens' displeasure with Carrie Lam known about and to call for an investigation into police actions at the protest. While the extradition bill died in early June, demonstrators have continued to as a platform for citizens to push back against what they call police brutality. Lam's dismissal of the protesters as rioters or stubborn children has just only worsened things there. Beijing's growing influence in the city's politics is also making things more chaotic. Violence escalated on the 21st as unknown assailants wearing white attacked the protesters, injuring at least 8 people. The affiliation of the group of attackers in white is unknown, but some suspect they have ties to Beijing. So basically, China is shipping in their own Antifa to make the protesters look bad. Thousands continued to protest on July 27th and 28th, and on both days, the police fired tear gas and fired rubber bullets. The protests there have become violent, and I don't blame them because they're in the fight for their life. And I think those of us here in America need to watch that and to understand what they're fighting for and to recognize that You have to be mobilized to fight for your liberty. You have to fight for your freedom. There is an actual cost to it, and sometimes that may even mean revolutionary action, but non. But these protesters are doing it in a nonviolent way, and that's incredibly important. Nonviolent protest works. Violent protests do not, because it always turns everybody against them. So we wish the best of luck to those in Hong Kong who are fighting for liberty. And it's a tall order, so I don't know how they're going to do it, but hopefully they can.
Yeah, it is. I there's a lot of hope for it because it. I think like the worst thing that could happen is to watch the People's Republic of China army to march in the street.
Yeah,
it is.
What that will do is that will galvanize the public. The public, I would think, would go, "Holy shit. This is not good. Like, this is Taiwan. This is like what I think the Hong Kong officials there know is that the second you get Tiananmen Square had a major impact on those leaked photos. Basically, the man who took the Tiananmen Square, he was up in his hotel room and he got the photographs and he saw he got spotted. And so he took his film and he hid it in the toilet. And if somebody and they tore his room apart looking for that footage of the man, the tank man in Tiananmen Square. And if they had flushed the toilet, they would have killed that photograph. But that photograph was then unleashed. And it really led to a lot of reforms in China. People saw what their government was doing. And if you put Red Army troops on the streets of Hong Kong, a very free and independent nation, essentially, it's going to be bad for Beijing, which is already a very fragile government, which is why they're clamping down.
Correct. And then the aspect of the social pressure, because it would become – China is a massive economic power because it exports a whole bunch of things to the United States. Yeah. And if pressure were all put on United States businesses, yes, this stuff was cheap, but you empowered this. So they would force, you know, companies around the world we can't do business with you. Why? We saw what you did to your people. You're worse than any other dictator that we've hated over the past. So your money's no good here. We won't do money with you. We cannot do business with you. Which is like, yeah, this will overturn things, but that, and I'll take the gas out of the people's army. But the thing is, how many people will starve to death before they actually let go of the reins of power then?
Yeah.
We find there's a history of China like, nope, they will starve them all to death if they have no other way. They've done it before.
Yeah.
And it's sad, like, this is different, but like, is it that much different?
Right.
They've only gotten out of it because they allowed special economic zones in certain areas and collect money from them. Without those zones, they're right back where they are.
Right. All right, Harry. Well, we're just about to wrap up. We're going to do a little bit of a shorter episode, and then I may come back here later in the week and do a second episode. I'll let you know if I'm going to do it. If you can join me, if not, I'll do it solo. But I'm going to try and make these episodes more manageable for people. So when people go and look at the feed, they go, "Oh, holy shit, 2 hours!" So we're trying to make sure that we're not scaring people off with the links, but still giving you good quality information. We'll see how long that lasts. I try this once a year, and then within two weeks, Harry, I'm right back to 3 hour episodes.
Back to the three hour episode, and then the power 10 hour. Well, yeah,
right.
The clocks are wrong.
Right. So it's August now, basically, and August is always tweak month here at Wall. Harry will tell you that. I lay dormant for a brief period of time, and then August and a couple August and May, it's like, will you stop sending me emails, Spangle?
Just like, let's try this, do this, let's do this too. I'm like, okay, all right, let's do this. Fine.
Yeah. So I want to come back, and I want to. I'll come back later this week, and I'll talk about Boris Johnson, and I'll recap some of my thoughts on the debates and stuff. I'll actually watch them and kind of see where I think things are going. So, but for now, I want to say thank you to our patrons. You guys you pay the bills here. We greatly appreciate it. You guys are total minches. We want to thank intern Ed Brehab, our only intern ever here on the show. A new Patreon member, Jeff Bennett, at $100. So thanks so much to him for joining up. Jason Doolittle. Thanks so much for always being such a great supporter of the show. The Libertarian Coalition, if you've not joined their Facebook page and Facebook group, please go and join the Libertarian Coalition. They do a great job of supporting us, and you know, Donald helped supply the cover art for the brand new wall reader. So if you love printed materials, if you love, we have a new intellectual journal. Whoever knew that We Are Libertarians would have an intellectual journal? It's certainly nothing I have anything to do with, but there are very smart people who are working on it, and you can get that on Amazon. So just go in and put in WAL Reader. Issue 2 is about immigration, and our great friends at the Libertarian Coalition supply the cover art for that. We've got Ryan Lindsay and Hody Johns and Renzo Martinez and several others writing in that and giving you every angle on immigration from a libertarian perspective. There's for, there's against. It's not just what I think. It's what a group of people, it's what we do here at We Are Libertarians, try to give you a broad view of things. Christy Avery, the lovely Christy Avery, we love her so much. And Craig DaCosta, the lovely Craig DaCosta, we love him too. So thank you to those guys. Thank you to everybody who's in our Patreon. You guys pay the bills around here. We're about to make a bunch of upgrades. I'd really like to get some new graphic design and kind of redo all the logos, and we're going to redo the store. And I've got a bunch of ideas that I'm going to be working on and trying to fit into my schedule as I have some dormant time from some of my other projects that, man, it started in January, Harry. Like, I just realized I've been grinding for 8 months now. I just realized literally in the second, like, it's just been since January that I've been, like, doing all these other projects. And I just looked down, I'm like, it's August. That's 8 months. No wonder you're tired. So yeah, a lot going on here at We Are Libertarians behind the scenes that's going to translate to what you see in the public very soon. And so we're working on some of that stuff, as well as continuing this great program. We've got several new shows that will be added to the website soon, but are in all your podcatchers. Libertarian Policy and Politics. That is where we're moving Wall Daily. That is going to basically take the place of Wall Daily. We're moving those shows over to Libertarian Politics and Policy. Gingerarchy with our great friend Trisha Stewart. She is hosting interviews with a lot of people from an anarchist perspective, and she's lovely and delightful and hilarious. So go check that out. Libertarian Debates, we are going to move the debates over to that feed and hopefully start to do debates more on a broader subject, not just with candidates, but more, you know, a debate on immigration and for or against, right? And so those are the new feeds, along with our other great shows like Boss Hog of Liberty and Brian Nichols. How could I forget Brian Nichols? Raw Audio Politics. And so check out all of our podcasts over at wearelibertarians.com, and you can get the feeds for all that stuff. So Harry, thank you so much for joining me. Anything, let's give the final sign off. Anything that there's that you'd like to cover, the floor is yours.
Oh man, I didn't think I was going to do this, but the one thing I do really recommend for people is to really keep an eye out on the situation that's going on in Hong Kong. That, to me, with the stories we're talking about tonight, that's the one to really, like, what it, yes, Puerto Rico, that happened in the U.S. and it's interesting to watch that power struggle, but that's, you know, it's not as interesting. The one going on in Hong Kong is going to be worth the watch.
Yeah. I think it's a hugely important fight for liberty that, you know, like 100 years ago, you'd be reading about this going, wow, they really fought their ass off for liberty. So I just think it's like, it's one of those points in time where you wouldn't normally like see something in your lifetime like this. So yeah, please tune in and make sure that you pay attention to it now that you kind of understand what it is.
Right. Yeah, so, that's all good.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. We love all of you, and we will talk to you further here in just a couple days. You know, I'm not going to kill myself with two shows a week. We'll figure it out. I just want to make sure that, listen, here's what it is. I've got a lot going on, but my first love is We Are Libertarians, and I want to make sure that this audience gets everything that they have always gotten and expected, and, you know, maybe tighten it up a little bit in certain areas, but at the end of the day, give you the same irreverent commentary on politics that you've always expected from us, and the fun that you've always expected from us. So make sure that you follow us and continue to tell your friends about the program as we move into 2020. So with that, we will say au revoir, and I'll talk to you in a couple days. I picked that up in French Canada, Harry. Au revoir. Bonjour. Bonjour.
Salut.
All right. We'll talk to you later.